Welcome to Tools Day, a podcast about tech tools, tips, and tricks on Tuesdays at 2. I'm your co-host, Yuna.
And I'm Chris.
And today we have a guest. Yanni, say hi.
Hello.
Our topic of the day is Ember. Ember with a Yanni. I think that sounds pretty nice.
Yeah. I could use some of that heat right now. It's too cold.
Oh, yeah. So, hi. Tell us a little about yourself. Welcome to the show.
Who are you? Where are you from?
What are you doing here? How'd you get here?
All right. So, name's Ihai Akachuku. Originally from Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. But I'm a software developer in IBM Watson. Well, more specifically, IBM Watson Life. Been working on some projects like Chef Watson. I'm on a new stealth project right now. And I've been doing Ember development for about a year and a half now or so. So been in it for a while.
I have been using Chef Watson to demo Watson to so many people.
Really?
Yes.
You haven't worked there.
Well,
evangelizing is evangelizing.
Everyone loves food. Yeah. So some people are like, what does IBM do now? I'm like, well, there's this Watson thing.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, hey, look, they can make you this meal thing.
Watson can cook. You know, there's a cookbook, too. I have a cookbook, the Cognitive Cooking Cookbook. It's pretty cool.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Cognitive Cooking Cookbook.
We recently did cognitive bartending at a bar in Austin.
We're using Chef Watson for that, too?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
They had a menu at the Towsend, and it was, like, all these cocktails, which sounded awesome.
Was it delicious?
I didn't go. I wasn't in town, but I wish I was.
I have to sound like it can go really well or like really bad because Chef Watson can also give you some very ambitious like combinations of ingredients that I would not think. But I mean, it works. So, and like he's like, oh, well, I've never got to mix those two things together, but yeah, actually, it tastes good.
If Watson says so, then I believe
at
it.
JS Comp,
Watson beat Ken Jennings, so you know.
True.
Yeah, but that's a very different Watson.
Same premise.
That Watson got us where we are now.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, right? That's the Jeopardy Watson that we're talking about. By the way,
this is the new and improved Watson. Yeah, me too.
Now we cook, not only play Jeopardy, but at JS Conf, Sam Richards was like doing a demo with it, and he was doing a live demo, and so he was like, okay, I'm gonna pair bacon with something, and Watson said to pair bacon with bacon. So,
roughing out the kinks.
Watson knows what's good.
All the bacon.
Just bacon.
The Ember work that you've done, and you've like spoken about it, has been outside of work for the most part.
Yeah, most definitely.
So, what was it like getting started with Ember when you weren't introduced to it in the workplace?
So I actually started off using Ember during college. I needed a way, I was taking an interaction design course, and I was building a redesigned experience around like Notre Dame's class search interface, and I wanted to build it using Ruby on Rails, but I couldn't really use straight Ruby on Rails for building it because it was a very ambitious app, like UI. It had like three sub levels. It's like a lot of nested routes and views, and so I started looking at a framework to help like leverage the strength of it to make it possible to build this UI out. So I started looking at Angular, saw its like syntax or just its vocabulary. I was just like, I really don't feel like learning all these like, you know, directives, factories, transclusion. I was like, I don't have time for this. So I skipped that one. Looked at Backbone. I was like, okay, this is too bare bones and I don't really feel like having to plug everything that I need into it. So I threw that one out. React was just getting started, so there wasn't much talk around that. Not that many resources like there are now. So
definitely not.
And it didn't have React Router, like wasn't really stable at that time, so threw that out. And I saw Ember, and I saw how it was created by like Yehuda, who used to be like a core team member on like the Rails team. And I was just scrolling through its syntax and its niceties, and its router was like, makes like nested views really easy. So I was like, I guess we have a winner. And so I did like a tutorial or two. Actually, I did one tutorial by Vic Ramone. And I had initially implemented like my UI using Vue.js, which is a really, really micro library.
Vue.
Yeah. Okay, great. It was like 0.11. And it was actually, that was pretty good. But at the same time, it was also really bare bones. So yeah. I had to do way more with it. And so I just rewrote that entire application in like about 8 hours or so using Ember. So just one day.
So you're saying that like with Ember, there was less startup time?
Yeah, because I didn't have to figure out where the heck to place things. It like tells you where to place things. Like
much more opinionated than
very opinionated.
Most things out there right
now. If people like opinionation, then like if they dislike opinionated frameworks, then Ember really isn't for them. But at the same time, opinionated frameworks shine when it comes to collaboration. Like when it comes to doing React or like even getting started, right? you have to set up Webpack or Browserify, Gulp or whatever, make all these architectural decisions.
So funny you mentioned that. Our last show was about that.
And, you know, React, like, it's just like you get paralyzed because you're just overanalyzing everything. But Ember has that, like, an Ember CLI has that built in for you, broccoli really right out of the box. And then even with generators, you don't have to worry about file structure because everybody, you just run the command and it doesn't, and even if you put it in the wrong folder, it's not going to work because the framework doesn't work like that.
Man, we just had all this conversation yesterday, or when we, our last show, where we talked about React and all the issues that people are having right now with the complexity. You said it really well.
Yeah. There's just so much startup and architecture to think about before you can.
You can lose like 2 days just doing that, you know? And Ember, like, what I liked about Ember is I could just look at it. It automatically placed it where it's supposed to go.
Right.
I could start learning the framework itself. I didn't have to worry about all the other configuration.
All the dependencies.
Right. Yeah.
That was, so I had this bug that I was like kind of talking on the show, and it turns out it wasn't even a bug with React. It was a bug with Babel. Like Babel 5 and 6 are so different.
Oh, yeah.
But I would have never known about these, like,
really? Okay.
These stage
paths. I'm on 5, and I like have a, we have a pretty large application.
5,
so.
Oh, 5 works.
Yeah. I just don't feel like so dealing with all those bugs and all that
good
stuff. Yeah.
But that's sort of like, is that the biggest benefit to you for using Ember?
Well, the biggest,
Wait, first off, do you still use Ember today?
Yeah, I'm, I do consulting with Ember application.
All right, well then, there we go.
Yeah, I'm actually working on upgrading an
Ember. Like your bread and butter.
Yeah, it is my bread and butter. If it's Ruby on Rails and Ember, holla at your boy, I can do it. I'm actually working with a client right now, upgrading an Ember 1.0 application to like Ember 2.2. So it's a huge like upgrade, but it's been pretty straightforward like migrating it so far. So
Ember 2 was released a couple months ago.
Yep.
What was the big change there?
Big change, views are deprecated, so there's no more views. It says routes, components, and controllers, although controllers are supposed to disappear in the future once routable components are shipped. Also, what else is a big difference between that? Glimmer. So Ember's rendering engine for so to improve performance, essentially it's just like React's virtual DOM under the hood, it's called called a Glimmer, and also fastboot is also what allows Ember applications to be server rendered and served up to the browser, so you get SEO and don't lose out on that.
I didn't realize that Ember had become isomorphic or universal now, right?
That's the word. Universal. It's not even universal per se. It's like, it's different because universal still like Ember server stands, fastboot server stands on its own.
Oh, okay.
And like, it's not integrated into your backend in any way, shape, or form. But I mean, it's still working out the kinks with fastboot, and there's some things that can be improved with it, but I guess in the sense it's like universal. At least you can have SEO in your Ember applications now.
I remember when Ember released that 2.x edition, they had this blog post about it, and there was a small jab at Angular.
Yeah.
Because Angular 2.x is much different than 1.0.
You can, it's going to be a pain in the butt to like update to 2.0, but they're making the migration path easier with Angular.
It feels like a lot of people are going from like views to routes now. It's common trends.
Views, I think you can, it's like not even views, more like views to components, you know? And you can thank React for that.
Right.
And like Tom Dale, like one of the creators of Ember, in his Texas.js talk, was talking about like, you know, they took the, like, what I like about Ember is that since it doesn't have like a corporate sponsor, it allows them the freedom to choose, like it allows them the freedom to like choose the best of like from all the competitors, like you know, to take some elements from Angular, to take you know, a lot of stuff from React. And like even in his talk, Tom was like, you know, React was right about basically everything.
Well, Angular is also taking a lot of sort of tidbits from React.
Like a lot of the frameworks now are much better about sharing.
Yeah.
Like I think both Angular and React's router are based off of Ember's initial ideas.
Yep. Ryan Florence, the dude that created React Router, he used to be big on Ember.
Yeah.
But he ran into so many limitations with it, and like the opinionated nature wasn't really working out for him. That's why he chose to jump ship to React.
Right.
But he's been working on a lot of things from like taking the best parts of Ember and shipping it to React. Because React Router, I feel right at home with it.
Right.
I feel like it's similar to Ember's router, and I can like, I don't have to relearn routing because it's just essentially the same thing. Right.
What I really liked about that TXJS, which was the 2015 one in July, is they had people like that were writing the frameworks just go up and talk about what inspired them with the other frameworks.
Yeah.
So it was really cool to see that.
Very civil.
Yeah, it was very obvious that they were getting inspiration from each other and making the best decisions instead of just trying to stick to their own opinions.
For sure.
Which was awesome to see.
So if someone wanted to get started in an Ember app, what would be their first steps?
getting started with an Ember app. So getting started with an Ember app, I think first things first, always go to like, you know, emberjs.com. Okay. Yeah.
Is it .com, not .org?
I'm pretty sure it's .com. Okay. Maybe it's .org. I don't know. Double check that for me, please.
Google Ember.
Yeah.
JS.
But start off on the website.
.com.
Yeah, do the tutorial on there. But also, what's his name? Adolfo. Builes?
Some complicated.
Yeah.
Name.
He has a Lean Pub book called Ember CLI 101.
Okay.
And it's like, he's like, he really, what I admire about him, he made this book like Pay What You Want. So if you are strapped for cash, it's going to be like, you know, you can get it for free. But if not, it's a really good book. You can get that book on Lean Pub and it's really valuable. And it's been really helpful for like beginners to get up and running with Ember, and like it walks you through building an Ember application and breaks down every single step, like in a very easy to understand manner. So definitely recommend that book as well.
So you mentioned the Ember CLI, which is another big benefit of Ember.
Yep.
Do you want to talk about that a little bit?
Yeah. So Ember CLI is Ember's command line interface. What it does is just allows you to it's responsible for creating like, you know, a new Ember project or generating like your models, your routes, controllers, components, etc. Pretty much, if you can think of anything in Ember that you like would type out, like a part of it, the generator can generate that for you and automatically place it in its proper like location. So like helpers are accepting tests as well. The CLI, if you've like used Rails before and used like Rails CLI, you'll be right at home with Ember's command line interface. And I really recommend, I think most people, it's like the de facto go-to, like just an Ember CLI, like new Ember project. And it's really helpful for both like collaboration, but it also has a lot of good plugins that make it easier to, that are easier to install directly through the CLI than you would than if you had to like, you know, configure it yourself. So once again, like taking away that friction.
Yeah.
So it builds that for you, much like Yeoman would do.
Right.
But it's all within its own community.
Yeah, but standardized. And like, you know, there's no other like Ember project generator out there. There's like so many different Yeoman generators for like each framework, like Angular.
I know Angular 2 is building an Angular CLI as
They forked that from Ember CLI.
Fork Ember CLI.
If you like generate the files, like you can see like Ember CLI build.js in it. It was funny.
They're like, that makes perfect sense. I mean, I know we were talking this again last week in React, but people
it's like a Wild West out there. It's a whole different world.
Yeah.
Right, so, okay, so Ember CLI. One thing I found hard with Ember is that with Angular and React, there's so many web resources for both those frameworks. It's anywhere I look, like Egghead has so many React stuff. Frontend Masters has so much Angular stuff. I can't find as easily Ember resources. So where is your go-to for Ember resources?
Normally the Slack channel, to be honest. There's my buddy Jeff runs a site called Ember Screencast.
Okay.
But funny you should mention Egghead. I'm actually supposed to be recording like a series on Ember this year to like get started and like teach people how to use it.
Here first.
Yeah. Actually, yeah. So now's the surprise.
Manny will be recording series. That's exciting.
Yeah, so I'm excited about that, getting like up and started for Ember and like doing a lot of things within that. So yeah, that's a good one.
The community of Ember is a lot smaller, though. If you look at number of, like, at least contributors and activity on GitHub or people using it, it's much smaller than the other frameworks out there right now.
I think it is very smaller, but at the same time, you have a lot of companies betting their future on, like, Ember. The problem with Angular is I can't think of companies that are using Angular out in the wild to build their products. I mean, I can at IBM, but we're, like, probably just one of the few I can name. Wasn't at IBM,
there's a lot of enterprise companies using Angular.
Like C-sharp shops and all that as well.
Like consumer businesses that I've seen using Angular.
Yeah, but I can name people like Netflix uses Ember for their internal tooling. Square is an Ember application.
Does Netflix also use other frameworks in their
business? Netflix uses React for its consumer-facing products.
Yeah.
Let's see. What is it? LinkedIn uses Ember internally.
Under Armour. Swap to it.
Under Armour.
You could probably make this list
Nordstrom
with
Rack.
Angular as well.
I've looked for it. It's not as extensive. Zendesk. It's Stripe. It's Heroku.
It's kind of strange because Angular had such a big adoption rate initially with a lot of people, but we didn't see as the BDC companies actually pick it up for their consumer facing websites. I'm sure there are out there somewhere. I think TurboTax actually is built in Angular.
Yeah, I mean, and also like DocuSign and like Chase are both like Angular applications. Right. But the ones I've seen that have like a huge UX focus around them are like a really like I've seen always being built in either Ember or React.
Right. I know my last company, Reuters, we built a text product in Angular. But again, that's aimed at like small to medium-sized businesses as opposed to a consumer like Netflix.
Yeah.
Are you looking it up right now?
I'm just curious.
Well, like, and I think the reason why, like, Ember doesn't have a corporate backend behind it, so it's also, like, can be a safer route for some of these companies that don't have to worry about, like, legal issues or anything of the sort.
Well, it says Netflix.com. It says weather.com.
For Angular?
Yeah.
Didn't we just buy weather.com? IBM?
I think we bought certain I'm not going to speak for it. I have no idea. JetBlue. There are companies that use it.
There's a lot of companies that you would recognize using Ember.
Yeah. But, I mean, again, things are constantly changing. Companies are iterating, rebuilding.
Well, most people are rebuilding their applications using Ember or React.
Yeah.
But a lot of them depends. If most people that need, like, that isomorphism or all that good stuff go with React. A lot of companies are moving away from, like, Backbone.
Right.
Or even some of them from Angular to Ember.
I think in a year, the ecosystem will be much different with Angular 2.x.
Yeah.
Just because that one has such a big focus on universal.
A lot of people have, like, put the pause on working further with Angular because
they got burned from that transition from 1 to 2. Right. So, but, like, with Ember, it's semantically versioned, so you don't have to worry about, like, your application
just dying.
Completely breaking. Yeah. Like, you get deprecation warnings very early on through, like, Ember Inspector. And at the same time, like, even when things do get, like, taken out or, like, completely deprecated, it's not that difficult to actually upgrade your application. Right. Like, I'm working on a 1.0 application.
Right.
And this transition has been, like, pretty smooth. And that's even considering, like, views are completely removed and there are a lot of views in this application. But I can shove it into a component and still, like, get it working how it was before.
Yeah. Real quick with your views to components thing. What is that transition like?
So what's the transition like? So let me think about this. How do I word this?
I feel like I was doing something similar with this in Angular a while ago. Because they kind of pushed everyone to use directives to compose your views.
Directives are, that's
which are like, components. So
exactly. Yeah, that's a parallel. So how's that been like? A lot of the time, views are just like, so with the way that they're using views in this application was, it's being used to render out modals. So whenever a view, like whenever a specific button was clicked, it would render this view. It would render this view into you can like a designate outlets. You can like designate outlets or whatever in your like Ember app. So just render like that specific view into the outlet, the modal outlet.
Interesting.
But the way I'm getting around it,
so it's like nested views.
Yeah,
which are very similar components if you think about it.
Yeah.
It's well, kind of nested views that you have a parent state, right? Where
this is very parallel with things that are happening in the CSS community, where people are not building pages anymore; they're really making things modular. Same with components. Like people aren't building these big views anymore, even if they interact. They're building these modular components for reusability.
Yeah. So like the way I migrated away from using these views, at least, is rather than using a view, I can just shove it into a component. Right. And even though, and like luckily in this case, I haven't been dependent on the parent state. For this component, because components themselves are isolated,
right?
But I can just pass in like the relevant models into a component and like do the same business logic there. But at the same time, if I do need access to a controller's like state, you can still pass those into Ember components, but it's not necessarily necessary. It's only as needed. So it's been straightforward.
Have you ever combined like Redux with Ember? The curiosity?
Thought about it, but I've never really seen the like Redux is relatively new.
Right.
And so I haven't like I'm using Redux in like my current project in Watson. It's been really awesome. But at the same time, the way Ember's the way that Ember is, I haven't really seen a benefit to
using
Redux yet. Cause like Redux it's for state management, right?
Right.
But my primary use of Redux is for like data management, like a lot of, like, you know, what we're fetching from like our APIs, backends. But with Ember, you know, Ember, it ships with Ember Data, which has its like own internal data store
that
you can use.
I don't know anything about Ember Data. So what is it?
Ember Data is just a way of like, it's a library that's responsible for handling the state of your data in your Ember application. It's just a data store.
Okay.
And what it does is like, What I like about it is that rather than having to type out these long HTTP requests over and over and over again, you just have to use, like, you can just use Ember data and say, like, this.store.findAll, like, let's say we had a contact model.
Right.
Find all contacts. And what it'll do is it'll hit, like, that API backend, like, right. or that endpoint right. and store all the contacts returned from that endpoint.
So it's a data service that provides?
Yeah. Ish.
Client side.
It's a client side data store.
Interesting.
And, like, you know, also abstracts out, like, HTTP calls, like, post, get, put, delete.
Is there a parallel for it in other frameworks?
No.
I've heard of that before.
Nope.
That's really cool.
There's pros and cons of using it, right? But
I'm sure not everybody uses it, but the fact that they provided some solution.
Yeah. It's been really straightforward to use in, like, applications, and that way you're saving time.
So it's a layer between your API.
And your
database.
And your
client,
client-side application.
Yeah.
We're like Falcor sits, right? Similar?
Ish. I haven't researched Falcor much.
Oh, sorry. Falcor is Netflix's in-between API and...
Theirs is way more advanced. So actually, I looked that up this morning. I remember.
For Netflix engineering.
Well, there's a reason why they, like, pay their engineers like $200,000 a year, because they hire the best of the best.
Oh my gosh.
Give them really hard problems to solve.
Right.
You know?
I mean, the Netflix UI is so nice.
Yeah.
Oh, it's amazing. Again.
Chaos Monkey is just a really cool thing that they have
going
on.
Yuna does not actually use Netflix.
Yeah, we learned this last week.
What? You don't have a Netflix account?
I have a Netflix account. I've watched Netflix.
Once in a blue moon, maybe.
I probably watched like once every other month.
Wow.
Yeah, I know, really, right? Bad.
You must be like the least Netflix addicted person I've ever met in my life.
I watched Orange is the New Black, the first season. Do I get credit for
that? You watched Sherlock?
I guess.
I watched Jiro Dreams of Sushi,
That's a good documentary. That's one of my favorites personally.
So good.
Yeah, Chef's Table is a very good one.
Maybe want some more sushi.
Same producers. Yeah. Yeah. Ember Data is pretty awesome. Highly recommend using it.
Cool.
Okay, so Ember CLI, Ember Data are the two big ones for you forever? Or
yeah.
If you had 3 points of why you love Ember, what would they be?
Ember CLI.
Okay.
It's opinionation, leads to better collaboration.
That seems like the number one thing for
you. Yeah. And also, I guess, like, I'm just do 3 and 4. Like, you know, Ember Data is, like, you know, it's cool, but it's not necessarily, like, necessary. Okay. But also community. The community's been really welcoming.
Yeah.
If you join the Ember community Slack channel, everybody there is eager to help you out. I can ask a question on Twitter normally and get, like, a really quick response. And, like, even, like, Tom and Yehuda have been really helpful and, like, teaching me, like, the ropes or answering my questions whenever necessary. And they're, like, just a message away. So the community's just really warm and welcoming. It kind of feels like a family, sort of. So definitely would, like...
That's awesome.
Yeah. Haven't really gotten that same feeling from the React community yet, but they still have really awesome people like Dan and Ryan who are awesome. And, like...
Dan Abramoff and Ryan Florence.
Yeah.
There is something to a smaller community, too.
Yeah.
So cool. Thank you so much for coming and laying down all your Ember knowledge.
Anytime.
I know so much more about it now.
Looking forward towards this Egghead video.
I gotta start recording, dude.
Oh, Maddie, for sure.
Yeah.
Get on it.
No, I have so many lessons to record. I'm just like,
I went through Dan Abramoff's Redux one recently.
Yeah.
I love Egghead videos.
That's how I learned Angular 1. I just watched a bunch of Egghead.
Dan had, like, put his heart and soul into the Redux videos, and it turned out amazing. And everybody's like, wait, I'm learning about Redux and functional programming at the same time.
Wow, it's magic.
Killing two birds with one stone.
That's great.
All right, awesome.
We will link all these things, and thank you for catching us this week.